Our text for today is verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 8. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." Now, after a person has been for surgery in hospital, the aim of that person, and also the aim of the medical profession, is the recovery of that person to a good measure of health and strength again. Well, in like manner, whenever God's people sin or are backslide, God's plan is that such people recover. God's plan is that such people are restored again to a place of blessing and usefulness in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul spoke of that particular plan to the believers in Galatia when he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And whenever we come to Joshua chapter number 8, here you have record of Israel's recovery after their initial defeat at Ai in Joshua chapter number 7. And this recovery took place after Achan's sin was confessed, and after Achan's sin was put away. And this shows us that a believer's restoration to God can only take place when they repent of their sin and their backslidings, and whenever they get right with God. Joshua chapter 8, it tells us there of the strategy that Joshua was to employ, that he would recover the ground that Israel had lost in Joshua chapter number 7. There was a planned withdrawal. There was a pretend defeat. An ambush had to be laid. An enemy had to be tricked into thinking that it was victorious. And every evil man in Israel was flung into the battle so that the defeat of Ai was sure. And this all shows us that the road to restoration was difficult, but it was no light-hearted matter. It was no light thing. But praise God, the way to recovery was sure, it was certain. And verse 1, our text this morning, is God's promise of Israel's recovery and Israel's restoration at this particular time. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. And see, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." What a promise God gave there to Joshua. And today, friends, I want us just to look at Israel's steps to recovery, as we find them mentioned here in Joshua chapter number 8. And as we look at these steps of recovery, I trust there will be an encouragement to any believer in our gathering this morning who's maybe lost out with God in your walk with God and in your relationship with God. May it not only encourage you, but encourage you to come back to the Lord, to get right with God. You might know God's favor and blessing in your life and in your witness and in your testimony once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Notice first of all that Israel's recovery here, it consisted of a new start. It consisted of a new start. And this new start, notice it commenced with God's word. Look at the beginning of verse 1 of the chapter. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua." Once the grieving sin of Achan had been dealt with, once it had been put away, then God was in speaking terms with his people once again. Oh, child of God, let us learn the lesson here that if you and I are to enjoy fellowship with the Lord, We are to know and to hear His speaking voice in our hearts. Then our lives must be right with God as God's people. Our lives must be holy and clean from sin. The Bible says to the Christian, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And if we're to know the Lord in an intimate way, to commune with God and hear His voice, our lives must be holy in the sight of God, right with God. Turning your Bible over to 1 John and to the chapter number 1. A very well known verse, but in the context of the chapter here, John is speaking to God's people about fellowship with God in their Christian life. And look at what he says in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. To have fellowship with God, sin must be dealt with. It must be put away. Oh, child of God, let me say to you this morning, no matter how far you may drift from God, if you repent of your waywardness and come back to the Lord, then the Lord will have a word for you. My, He will speak to you again through His word, as He did here to Joshua and Israel in Joshua chapter 8, where it says, and the Lord has said unto Joshua. My, the Lord's promise to His returning child is this. He says, return unto Me, and I will return unto you. Yes, this start commenced with God's word. But in the case here of Joshua and Israel, you'll notice also that it was a word of encouragement. For look at what God goes on to say here to Joshua in the middle of verse 1 of Joshua chapter 8. He says, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. My discouragement over the past and fear of the future are two reactions that plague the people of God and their hearts whenever they feel. And no doubt this was so with Joshua and Israel this time. But you know, the Lord in grace, He comes and He seeks to dispel their fears. He seeks to dispel their discouragements by saying, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Oh, dear people of God, whenever we feel the Lord and come back to the Lord and listen to His word and to His truth, then He also, through His word, will dispel our fears and our discouragements. And what's the Lord's promise to His people seeking after Him, seeking to live for Him and for His glory? And Isaiah 41 in the verse 10, He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. What a promise. Again, over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 in the verse 9, this is what it says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. My, the Lord, when you come back to Him, will speak to your soul. He will dispel your fears. He will dispel your dismay and your discouragement, as He did here with Joshua and Israel. And as you think of this new start, you'll see also that it was a word of instruction. For look at what God goes on to say in the words of our text to Joshua. He says, take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. In his first attack upon Ai back in Joshua chapter 7, who was Joshua listening to? He was listening to his own men, and he took a small army of 2,000 to 3,000 men, and he was defeated. But here when we come to Joshua chapter 8, he's no longer listening to man. He's listening to God. He's listening to God's instruction. And God instructs him to take all the able men to fight. Oh, Christian, learn here that when you and I come back to the Lord and when we listen to His word and listen to His truth, then the Lord will have instruction for us. Christian, the Lord has instruction for you, for your cares in life, for your home, for your family, for your business, for your work, and for all your witness and your work for God. The Lord will instruct you and teach you from His word and counsel you. The Lord's promise to His people who yield to Him is this. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He will instruct you in life's journey when you yield to Him. Notice also here, not only was there a word of instruction, a word of encouragement, and a word from the Lord, but notice that it was a word of promise. Look at the latter part here of verse 1 of Joshua chapter 8. Notice what God promised to him. He said, see, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And there you see that God promised victory here to Joshua at this time. Likewise, dear believer, whenever you obey the Lord, whenever you believe His word, you too can depend upon His promises for victory and for blessing. Turn in your Bible, please, over to 2 Chronicles and to the chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And look at what Jehoshaphat says here to the Lord's people. It was a time of battle. Time when they were surrounded by a great confederacy of enemies to God and God's people. But notice the counsel that Jehoshaphat gives to the people at the end of verse 20 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, His word, His messengers. Notice the promise. So shall ye prosper. O child of God, when you obey the Lord, and obey His word and His truth and depend upon His promises and upon His truth, then you'll prosper spiritually. Then God will bless you. God will undertake for you, such as His promises. It was D.L. Moody who said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. He depended upon the promises of God. Yes, Israel's recovery started with a new start. There was a new commencement. But notice secondly here from Joshua chapter 8 regarding Israel's steps to recovery. Not only was there a new start, but it also consisted of a new plan. God had a new plan for His people on this occasion. You know, it has been said that God changes His leaders lest His people trust in flesh and blood instead of the Lord. And He changes His methods lest His people depend upon personal experience instead of depending upon divine promises. And you know, the latter part of that statement was so for Joshua here on this occasion in Joshua chapter number 8. Now, whenever Joshua was to take Jericho, the operation involved a march, an open march every day for 7 days during daylight hours around Jericho. And then God performed a mighty miracle in bringing down the walls of the city. But whenever it came to the taking of Ai, God's plan for Israel here was completely different than His plan for the taking of Jericho. No miracle was performed. And instead of an open daylight assault, much of the work of taking the city of Ai was a covert operation at night time. Look at the latter part of verse 13 there of Joshua chapter 8. It says, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And what was God's instruction about the taking of the city? We see that Joshua was to divide his army of 30,000 into three separate armies. One army was to set up an ambush behind the city from the west. A second army of 5,000 was to set up a further ambush between Bethel and Ai. And then Joshua was to lead the rest of his army in a frontal attack from the north. Look at verse 11 of the chapter. Notice what it says. And it says, all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. And by this he was to lure the soldiers out of Ai. And then Joshua would then pretend to retreat with the soldiers of Ai giving chase. Look at verses 5 and 6 of the chapter. And Joshua says, and I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them.
For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. And then at Joshua's signal, the first army lying in ambush were to enter into the city of Ai and destroy it with fire. Look at verses 7 and 8 of the chapter. It says, then shall ye rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. And why the soldiers of Ai would be caught between the two armies and they would be defeated. And the third army of ambush of 5,000 men would deal with any assistance that was to come to Ai from Bethel. And this was God's way for Israel to take the city of Ai at this time. And it was completely different from the taking of the city of Jericho. But it was God's way. It was God's will for them at this time. And it was a way that was to lead to certain and to sure victory. Look at the promise of God through Joshua given to Israel again at the end of verse 7. He says, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. What's the lesson here for you and I as God's people? O child of God, the lesson here to learn is this. That in your recovery for God's blessing, the believer must yield to God's will. The believer must submit to God's way, to God's will. Yes, you must submit to God's way, God's will in your life and all your work and all your witness for Christ. There must be a submission to the will of God, to the way of God, if we're to know recovery and blessing. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. He delighted to do his Father's will. He said in Psalm 40, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That was the testimony of Christ's life. A delight in doing the perfect will of God. Think of what the hymn writer says. He says, thy sweet beloved will of God, my anchor ground, my fortress hill. He rejoiced in the will of God. Oh Christian, let me say to you this morning, the way to blessing, the way to recovery is not your will or man's will or the world's will. It's the will of God. It's the way of God. Oh Christian, in all your relationships, in every undertaking in your personal life and in God's work, seek out God's will by prayer and by the reading of God's word. This is vital to restoration. This is vital to spiritual recovery. You remember the counsel of the Apostle Paul to God's people in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He was counseling God's people there to seek out the will of God for their lives. If we are to know blessing in our lives and spiritual recovery, we must have done with self and the ways and the wills of man and of the world. There must be a yielding in our hearts to God's way, to God's will. Turn over to Psalm 32. And here's a psalm all about the instruction of God's people. And notice the counsel of God to his people in verse number 9. Notice what he says. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and with bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, don't be stubborn and be like the old mule and go on your own way or do your own thing or run after the ways of the world. That's what God is saying. Yield to God. Yield to his word. Yield to his will. Well, this is the way to recovery. The way to blessing. Yes, there was a new start for Israel. There was a new plan for Israel. But look again at Joshua chapter number 8. Notice that it also consisted of a new triumph. It was a new triumph. Their triumph was complete. Their triumph was decisive. You'll see that Ai was emptied of all its soldiers. Look at verse 14. It says, and it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. At dawn, the king of Ai and all his men were drawn out of the city to fight with Joshua. Notice something else that Ai was captured. Under God's instruction, Joshua lifted up the spear and this symbolized the ambush to go and to take the city of Ai and to burn it. Look at verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. And the Lord said unto Joshua, notice how Joshua is obeying the Lord here step by step. Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush rose up quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And then as you go down the chapter, you'll see that Ai's army was decimated. It was completely destroyed. Look at verse 21 and verse 22. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. The army was obliterated, it was annihilated. And the whole city then was judged with fire. And all in the city were put to death. And this was God's judgment upon an ungodly city. A city that had resisted God's grace and resisted God's truth. And then Ai, the king himself, was taken. And he was slain. Look at verse 23 and verse 29. It says, and the king of Ai they took alive, and they brought him to Joshua. Verse 29. And the king of Ai hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. You see that the victory was complete. It was decisive. The army of Ai and its king were wiped out. It was a total victory for Joshua. You think of the contrast between Joshua chapter 7 and Joshua chapter 8. Israel went from defeat in Joshua chapter 7 to victory in Joshua chapter 8. Why? Why was there this victory? Why was there this triumph? Because they obeyed the Lord step by step, moment by moment. Oh Christian, does the Lord not say to you and I, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Turning your Bible over to Psalm 128. Notice the promise of God to those who obey the Lord. In verse 1 of Psalm 128. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And that walketh in his ways. Joshua and Israel proved the reality of that promise in the taking of Ai the second time. Why? Because they feared the Lord. And they obeyed and walked in the ways of the Lord. Christian, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, it has been said that all heaven is waiting to help those who will discover the will of God and do it. You know, it is a medical fact that whenever a patient obeys the advice of their doctor, they will recover better. They will recover in a quicker fashion. And in like manner, dear Christian, you and I must obey the Lord if we're to know spiritual recovery, if we are to know spiritual blessing and victory in our lives. Asked about the secret of blessing in his own life, George Mueller said this. He said, there was a day when I died utterly to George Mueller, to his opinions, to his preferences, to his tastes, to his will. A day when I died to the world and to its approval and to its censure. A day when I died to the approval or to the blame of my brethren. And since then I have studied to show myself approved unto God. Christian, the truth of the matter is this for you and I, dying to self
is the way to victory, blessing, and recovery, and revival in our Christian lives and in the work of God.
If you look there at verse 27 of Joshua chapter number 8, notice just incidentally there how Israel reaped the spoil of Ai, the spoil of the city they had for themselves. It says in verse 27 of Joshua 8, only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. They took the prey, the spoil of the city for themselves. Think of Achan. In chapter 7, had Achan or in chapter 6 been patient in Jericho, had he been obedient, he too would have reaped the spoil of Ai instead of reaping the judgment of God upon himself and upon his family. Had he been obedient, had he been patient, he too would have taken the spoil of Ai for himself. There was a new plan, there was a new start, there was a new triumph. But notice one final thing regarding Israel's recovery and their steps to recovery. The recovery also consisted of a new devotion. A new devotion to God. Go down to the latter part of the chapter. Turn to verse 30 there of Joshua chapter number 8. And notice what it says. And Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Look at the latter part of verse 31. On that altar he was to offer up burnt offerings and peace offerings. It says, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. In accordance with the Levitical law, the burnt offering was a sign of total commitment to God on the part of God's people. Also in accordance with the Levitical law, the peace offering was an expression of gratitude and praise to God for his goodness and for his mercy. Then look at verse 32 of the chapter. You'll see how Joshua was to write a copy of God's law upon this altar. It says, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And then you go down to verse 34 and you'll see how Joshua read the law of God to God's people at that time. It says, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And what was this all a sign of, a testimony of? It was a sign, a testimony of a new devotion to God on the part of Israel at this time. A new walk with God, new fellowship with God, a new consecration to God and to his ways. They built an altar. It was the offering up of the sacrifices. There was the writing down of the law of God and the listening to that word as it was read. There was new devotion after their initial defeat at Ai. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, let me say this. The way to spiritual blessing and spiritual recovery is also devotion to Christ and devotion to his word and to his truth. Turning your Bible over to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians and to chapter number 8. Look with me at the verse number 5. Paul here is speaking about the testimony of the churches at Macedonia. And look at their testimony. There was devotion to Christ and to the word of God and to the ways of God. He's dealing here with the whole matter of Christian giving. And he speaks of the churches in Macedonia in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. He says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. They were devoted to Christ and to the word of God being lived out in their lives. That's how it was with David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He could say, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It was devotion to Christ, to the word of God. Oh, Christian, the route, the step to recovery, to blessing, is yielding to Christ. Devotedness to Christ. Devotion to his word, to his truth. Saying before the Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not my way, O God, not the world's way, but God's way. following in the ways of God and in the steps of God. That's how it was with Joshua. You know, in Joshua chapter 8, Joshua could have shrugged his shoulders when God spoke to him. He could say, "No, God, I'm doing it my way." And he would have ended in defeat and catastrophe and ruin. But praise God, he yielded to God. And he led the nation to blessing. Led the nation to victory. Oh, dear people of God, may this be our testimony individually and collectively as a congregation in all our work and witness for Christ. Yielding to God. Devotion to Christ. Yielding to his word. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Friend, if you're to know God's blessing of your sins forgiven and eternal life in heaven, then you must repent of your sin and flee to Christ. Trust in his atoning blood alone shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing away of your sin and for the salvation of your soul. The Bible speaks of Christ. And says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You must repent of your sins. And trust in Christ and have his blood applied by faith to your heart. If you are to know the blessing of your sins forgiven. If you are to know life eternal. Why, it's worth here noting here in Joshua chapter 8. That Mount Ebal, the place where this altar was built. And these sacrifices were made. It was the mount of cursing. And friend, if you are to be saved from the curse of your sin and the ruin of your sin, you must trust in the sacrifice of Christ's atoning blood alone for your salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Friend, unsaved, may you trust in that same sacrifice today. And know your sins forgiven. Know what it is for you to be saved and be ready for heaven. Oh, if you go on in your sin, the curse of sin's upon you. The ruin of sin will be your portion eternally in a lost sinner's hell. Praise God, you can be saved from that ruin. Save from that curse. If you'll repent of your sins. If you'll bow your knee to God. You'll come in repentance and faith to Christ and trust him.